Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have a very interesting show for you today. I think this is a show where you really want to go and grab your notebook, grab your recorder, whatever it is that you need to take notes, because I'm going to ask a lot of questions and get a lot of information from today's guest. So I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is for you to go out and be an evangelist, be an activist. Go out there and let people know that the Roundtable Talk Show is live. So go ahead and send that tweet, send that text. Go ahead and share the show, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. And why would you? We share so much information and we learn, and we're going to learn even more today. So while you're sharing the show and while you're waking everyone up, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest. And I'm hoping to be a part of her community, Ms. Deanna Anderson, and she's going to talk to us about 705 marketing as well as moms making it together. Good morning, Deanna. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. I am so excited. One of the things that I talk about on the show is what stands out to me in people's bios. I get bored easily. I don't know if you can tell what kind of guess in this 1 minute we've been talking, but it's like, I see standard stuff and I'm like, okay, interesting, interesting. But then I see something and I'm like, wow, this is impressive. So we are going to talk about 705 marketing, but you really impressed me with moms making it together. As a mom of a 23-year-old, a 26-year-old, I understand this journey. Talk to us a little bit about what you do, Deanna, and who you are.
So I have been out on my own for 14 years. I have a 13 and a 10-year-old. So that kind of all happened around the same time. And we at 705 Marketing really focus on high tech and nonprofit clients, which people are like, that's an odd combo. But engineers and nonprofit EDs often view marketing very similarly. So those are our sort of two areas of expertise. And then the Moms Making It Together community came out of COVID. So I went on March 1st, I've worked at home by myself for 14 years, and all of a sudden I had three assistants, my 10-year-old, my 13-year-old, and my husband, all sharing the space with me for indefinitely. And, you know, moms saying, what are we going to do? So I created a Facebook community, the Moms Making It Together, literally between dinner one night. We're 10,000 moms strong across the country at this point. We've started an Instagram and a blog, and it's really to help moms figure out what to do right now. Like, you can't call your mom. She didn't live through a pandemic. And if your grandmother did, she was probably an infant if she lived through the Spanish flu. So it's really a community to help us figure out what it looks like. And then also to help us at 5 o'clock have a little giggle and smile because the days are long sometimes.
Absolutely. So at 705 Marketing, what does 705 Marketing offer?
So we really focus on content marketing. And nonprofits are really our sweet spot. And I, before starting 705, worked at large agencies. So our goal is to take the service that you would see at a large agency and figure out how to make that work with a nonprofit's budget. I'm really involved in the community here in Atlanta, and that's how my nonprofit passion began. So we really focus on the content piece of it. So anything from website content to social media management to thought leadership pieces to traditional public relations, which is where I got my start. So it's really about taking that story and figuring out how we take it through the marketing channels to really make the most impact.
Why are you so passionate about nonprofits?
So I really focus on ones that focus on women and children. Both of my children have language-based learning differences. So my oldest has dyslexia, dysgraphia, and dyscalculus, and my little has dyslexia and ADHD. And part of my passion has been driven through that and looking at ways that we can help all children with learning differences. And so really that has driven my passion for working with nonprofits. And it's also just amazing to see how you can help their mission delivery. And at the end of the day, it feels really good when you know that you've helped this, you know, nonprofit that works with adoption. And they've gotten coverage on Oprah.com, you know, like, and to see their faces light up and to see those stories being told are the part that like really get me excited about doing work. And I went out on my own too, so that I could pick my own clients and get rid of clients if I wanted to. And nonprofits are, you know, when you're telling a good story, it makes you excited to tell it. And the other thing is it's really important for our kids to understand that they are expected to be good citizens, even as a 13 and a 10-year-old. And that part of that is giving back. And so I think seeing that I do that not only as a volunteer within the community, but also within my work, I think shows that to the kids and reminds them that, you know, they do, even at their age, have a role to play to be a good citizen.
Mm-hmm. As a business consultant, one of the things that I found is there's a difference between for-profits and nonprofits. Obviously, there's a lot of difference, but one of the main ones is that nonprofits, they just want to help. They just want to serve. They just want to fix the problem. They just want, you know, let me give food to the homeless. Let me do these different things, but they don't necessarily operate as a business. And so they don't, you know, it's a different, you have to work with them differently. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. Well, I said that I find that startups, for-profit and nonprofits, EDs, often view marketing the same way. So, which is kind of how the high-tech part has stayed as part of our business. And I sometimes feel like you're flying the plane and building the plane and trying to make sure that somebody doesn't go out on the parachute all at the same time when you're working with nonprofits. So we really figure out how can we become part of their team. So it's not like, oh, well, I have to take this extra step. It's like, okay, the weekly meeting's here. Deanna's here. The team is here. We know that next week they're going to give the update on where we are. And that kind of model has been really successful for us with nonprofits of all different sizes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really making sure that they know that we are doing the best that we can for them and that we are going to be the best stewards that we can for their budgets and that we're going to give them a great story to go back and tell their board so that their board wants to keep us on.
Absolutely. I need a team as well. I've got to add to my team and make it grow. Now, Deanna, with Moms Making It Together, I kind of understand the feeling because the Roundtable Talk Show was created during the pandemic. And if not for this horrible global pandemic, the show would have never taken off the way it did. It would have, I believe, not have been possible to have 5 guests per day, 5 days a week. But because so many people are now at home, on Zoom, looking for other opportunities. You have so many speakers, you know, just who like, okay, I want to do something. It made it easier for me to do that. So with Moms Making It Together, I can understand how you're looking for that community because all of a sudden you're at home. This is new for you. You can't even relate. That's what you were saying earlier. No, none of us has lived through this. What are some of the topics or the reasons why people that you discuss in the community that you support with?
So it kind of ebbs and flows. So when we started, it was all about my children are home. I did not want to be a teacher, which was me. I was like, there are a lot of jobs I wanted. Being a teacher was never one of them. And certainly not to my 2 children who are like, you know, my daughter's in, you know, was in 4th grade and she's doing math. And I was like, this is called a calculator. And she's like, you can't use a calculator, mommy. And I was like, well, I don't know, you know, and she's doing the long, you know, not regular division. So like tips on that, like my 4th grader just came home. I felt fairly confident that like I passed, you know, college calculus and I can't do 4th grade math. Like what is, you know, this? So that's when we first started, it was all about like, what are the resources for it? Then as we went into the summer, it's like, okay, we're still in this. My kids' camp has gotten canceled. Where are the online camps? Where are the great places to do that? And then now we're in this sort of back to school mode. You know, in Georgia, we've been back to school for about a month, but a lot of schools are going back this week and a lot of schools are going back through the rest of the month, whether it's virtual, in-person or hybrid. So those topics, we've also done, to your point about people being home, we've done Zoom workouts. We've had a psychologist come on and talk about the stresses that moms are experiencing. We are using what we're calling our mom squad. So when you have 10,000 moms, you have a lot of moms who are really good at a lot of things. So we have one who's a personal chef who's come on. We've got an organizer planned for next week. So like now that you're still all here together, like how do you get your house maximized for everybody being here most of the time? So really, you know, kind of looking at where moms' heads are And they're very vocal about what they're interested in. So what I do is kind of every day look through, like, what are the things that they're posting about? Okay, who is a mom that we have that can help answer that? The moms are very respectful to each other. They tell on each other if someone is breaking the rules. They do. I see that member reported content come up and I'm like, okay, someone is not paying, you know, not going by the rules. And, you know, we joke that it's become like the 10,000 best friend strangers that you never knew you needed, but that you do. And then it's also, like I said before, you know, 5 or 6 o'clock, you've been through the mom. And if you're also working, you've been juggling and, you know, you've had a Zoom where the kids come through, the dogs come through, you know, the UPS guys come to the door, like you need a laugh. So, you know, what are those things that give moms a giggle about like mom humor and what we're kind of all going through?
Right. Because I, like you, I've been working at home forever, for years. And so this was nothing new to me. I only really recognize it when I go to the grocery store, when I go out, I'm like, oh my God, people are, you know, still wearing masks, because there are days when I don't actually see other people aside from you guys. Hello. But that's it. I can definitely relate. Deanna, I want to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. And I love how this show is kind of working out, because your focus is on marketing. We're going to talk to our next guest, Carol Verity, who is calling in. Oh, I love this show. All the way from London. London. We have London in the house today. We have Deanna. You're in Atlanta, correct?
Yes.
Yes. So Atlanta, California, London, Carol Verity. And she is going to talk to, she's been in business for over 40 years. That's one of the things that I want to focus on. But then we're also going to talk about WOW Women on the Web, as well as smart website planning. Good morning, Carol. How are you? You're muted, dear.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It is. It's tea time here.
I have to go to London so we can have tea.
That is just, yeah, come and see us. Be amazing. But yeah, no, I'm here. I'm like you, I've been working from home 22 years now.
Wow.
22 years.
How are you? So, okay. You've been in business for over 40 years or for 40 years.
Yeah.
Working for yourself.
Yeah.
One of the things I like to talk about, we're going to talk about all your businesses, but I just have to ask this question. We talk about people who just have to be entrepreneurs. They have to be, because I wrote my book, Signs You Might Be an Entrepreneur, How to Discover the Entrepreneur in You. And the reason I did is because there were so many people who were saying, I'm an entrepreneur because I hate my boss. I'm an entrepreneur because I don't like not working 9 to 5, or I don't like working at all. And I'm like, no, that's not an entrepreneur. An entrepreneur is one of those people who is one of the hardest working people there is. They are problem solvers. They have to find a solution. It's something that's in them. You know, so for you to be self-employed for 40 years, I mean, I always say it's like a calling. Was it like that for you?
Oh, gosh, I think so. I mean, it started, I was very privileged, we had flat in London. We had a house in the south of Spain in 1961. My father bought it. And in 1980, when I was 20, so yeah, 40 years ago, I decided I didn't know what I wanted to do. And my dad kept saying, well, do something. So I was like, oh, okay. And I had his friend, and he said, oh, I think I'd like to start a restaurant somewhere. I was thinking about it. I said, oh, why don't we start it in my house?
Oh, wow.
And so before I knew it, I was a restaurateur, and I turned our house in the south of Spain into a restaurant.
Wow. Wow. And then did you stay in the restaurant industry? Did you
go
from different industries? I mean, I always love the entrepreneurial journeys to how did you get to where you are now? I don't want to take every path, but.
Somebody said to me they wanted to open a restaurant, I'd run a mile. It's like so much hard work, especially when you're 20 and all you want to do is go out clubbing and partying, and then you've got to go and groceries and you've got to cook for people, and it's like, oh my God. So then I moved to Madrid, and I was just sort of, I don't know, I was just kind of bumming around Madrid in the early 80s, having a very good time. And then I ended up back in London, and my dad told me to go out and get a rich boyfriend or a job. So I did get a job. I was working for a bit. I was working in somewhere called the Savoy Tailors Guild in London, and as a shop assistant. But then somebody who was coming into the shop and buying all this stuff, she was Colombian, and I'm bilingual Spanish English, and we were chatting away, and she said, I've got this business and I import fruit and flowers from South America, you know, would you like to come and help me? So I kind of then went on that kind of journey and started doing that. And then I got, to cut a long story short, I got into the international property industry. And then in 2002, with a friend, I started a company called propertiesabroad.com. Mm-hmm. So I was in the property industry for a long time. But then in 2008, the property industry just went, you know, with the first recession. Yeah. And we all got a bit strangled, and everybody was like, oh my God, you should do this. But by then, I'd done a degree in visual communications, because I just loved it and I wanted to do it, and I love corporate identity. And so I got this degree in visual communications, which was fascinating. And I didn't realize just how good it would, in good stead it would stand me for doing websites and website sort of appraisals. And then I got involved and then started doing the technical stuff. And then I started a company called Smart Website Planning, because I realized that all these websites were going up all over the place. And you'd say to somebody, people would say to me, I've got a website, but it doesn't work. So mm-hmm. I'm like, well, did you plan it properly? And they were like, well, yeah, not really, but my next door neighbor's son did it for me, you know, and I'm like, yeah, okay. Anyway, so I wrote a book called Smart Website Planning, learned all about how you should plan a proper professional website. And then one thing led to another, and that's evolved into a company called We Get Digital. And my website, wegetdigital.co.uk. And so from then on, I've been building websites, doing SEO, realized that women struggle a lot with technology, a lot, a lot, a lot. So then I started something called The Businesswoman Today. And it was just, when we built it, it was like this massive community. And I realized that I'd have to give up everything else that I was doing to run the community. And I didn't want to do that. So we sold it, funnily enough, managed to sell it. But then we've now got something called Women on the Web. And that is what you were talking about there. And that is a platform that helps women with lots of different contributors. I've got women contributors. So I've basically got women who do understand digital helping women who don't in business.
Wow, I love it. That's a lot of that was 40 years just piled into 40 seconds. I think that's wonderful, but I want to go back, because I know everybody tuned in who's watching, who's sharing the show, because when I heard smart website planning, I want some tips, some strategies. I do most of my websites myself, but I got to make sure I planned it the smart way.
Okay. So what would you like? Oh gosh, there's so many different things that, and especially now it's like there's more and more and more and more. Effectively, you've got about 3 seconds to capture your visitors. You need to visually be in the place whereby you people can see who you are, what you do. They get attracted by you. It's like if your website isn't you, it's like going to a great party and you feel that day that you look like, I can't swear, you look like rubbish without swearing. So that you don't look your best, and you walk to the party and you sit in the corner and you just really, you don't engage, you know, and you're not loving yourself that night too much. So really you don't have a good time at the party. And having a website that really isn't you, you will not tell anybody about it. You will not get business in your sleep, which is what you should be doing. If your website's well SEO'd, it's well positioned, it's out there, it's being found, you know, you're engaging, your content is good, and you look the part, because that is what we need to do out there. The competition is fierce, right? The competition is absolutely fierce. And if you ain't looking your best, you can bet your bottom dollar that your competitor will be. And your competitors are only one click away.
Oh, I like that. Your competitors are only one click away. Amazing. Carol, I am going to come back to you, but I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. Creighton Wong. And he also is into, he is a digital marketing firm, but he is in Ho Chi Minh City. So like I said, we have an international show today. We got people calling in from everywhere. And it seems like we can have an educated conversation about digital marketing, website design. Everybody seems to know a little bit of something or a whole lot of something about these topics. Good morning, Creighton. How are you?
Well, good morning to you. Good evening to me. So I'm on the I'm on the dark side of the earth at this point in time.
What time is it there?
Oh, it's past 10 p.m., but I work on U.S. hours. So my day is actually semi-starting.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. I love it. 10 p.m. is still early. You still have a couple of hours before Absolutely. It gets too late. The people in Australia are the ones who get so mad at me. They're like, Sharifa, it's 1 a.m. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm like, I don't know. I'm in the U.S. Creighton, talk to us about, first of all, I want you to tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do. We'll get to that. But I would love your thoughts or your response to what Carol was saying about the website.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, when gosh, 20 years ago, the conversation was, Do I have a website? Do I not have a website? And now there's no question about it. You got to have a website out there. And the question
But Let me just ask you that. I didn't mean to cut you off, but since that's what I tend to do, I might do it again.
Right.
I didn't want you to go too far because you said 20 years ago that people said, should you have a website or not? One of the conversations I still have every day, 2020, is when people tell me, oh, I don't need a website. I have my Instagram. I do business on my Instagram or my Facebook. And people still, unless, you know, maybe it's just me, but people still tell me that today. I heard Carol say something. I don't know if you were agreeing.
I think Carol just had a heart attack over there.
But they say that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's so important now, and especially during this COVID time, that people are realizing, even if you have a traditional brick and mortar, that you have to have some sort of online presence. Mm-hmm. And to piggyback on what Carol said, it's your online presence is, in a lot of ways, your first impression that you mm-hmm. get to make on somebody. So, darn it, you got to look the part. It's that old adage, you never get a second opportunity to make a great first impression. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. For example, I was working with an endodontist and we took a deep dive into his business. And I said, okay, what separates you? What makes you different from everybody else? And the word that he kept hammering, two of them, one was family and the other one was technology. And so I dove into that a little bit more and, you know, I didn't know this at the time when we started working, but you know, the technology that he uses versus what a general dentist uses is night and day. And that's why you go to him, because he's a specialist, because he's better than the other guy. And I was like, well, we need to educate people on that. We need to, like Carol says, grab their attention and let them know they're in the right place within 3 seconds. We need to give them a call to action so that we can tell them exactly what to do next. We got to make that call to action easy so they don't get frustrated trying to figure out what to do. My old ad, and this is before websites even existed or the internet, is like, if you want me to spend money with your business, make it easy for me to do so. And the same thing applies whether you're in person or online.
Absolutely. I definitely agree. I was sharing a story on one of my earlier shows about I was sitting on a panel. It was actually a race panel, race relations panel, had nothing to do with business. But I was sitting there having this discussion and one of the other panelists started talking about how she literally started crying about how she had started her business and how she didn't have any customers and it wasn't working for her. And I told her, I said, you know, because I don't like people to, I like to help people. It's just something in me. I don't know. I like to save people, as my son said. So I was like, okay, as soon as we finish this panel, let's talk. And I guarantee you that I can help you in some way make money, you know, and be successful. So we did a call and I went to her website and on her website, I asked her, well, I saw a book she had a book and her book was for $3. And I was like, okay, well, if you have your book at $3, it's going to take a lot of sales for you to be successful. And she was like, no, that's just the ebook. And I'm like, okay, but where's the hard copy? So the hard copy was just like $12. Is hidden somewhere on her website. And then I'm like, okay, so do you offer any services? She's like, yeah, I offer these training sessions and it's like $2,500, but nobody's buying them. I was like, okay, where are those? She's like, that's on some other page, that's buried. I was like, okay, so let me understand. What you're saying is your most expensive package is buried. Your book that is $12 is buried, but your ebook that's $3 is right smack in front on the homepage. I was like, yeah, but to go a little bit further, I told her, I said, to me, that felt like a mindset that you felt like I'm not worthy, that, you know, all I can ask for is $3 because I feel bad, you know? And I was like, I don't know what you're going through, but let's change this around. Carol, Deanna, Creighton, anybody, does anybody have that experience and understand what I'm saying?
Oh, totally. Women, especially women. I mean, I don't know about in the States, but certainly here, you know, they've got, everybody feels like they've got imposter syndrome.
Yes. Yes.
And that, oh no, I can't, you're apologizing for sending out an invoice or apologizing for, you know, and I've been guilty of it. And mm-hmm. I remember not long ago, we just took everything and I realized just how much we did. And Craig was saying about doing a deep dive into the business, we were just doing that as part of our website build. We just do it and all this kind of stuff. And I just thought, we are so underpriced. And I doubled my prices overnight.
Go, Carol.
Doubled them overnight and still got business.
And I'll jump in and say this, you mentioned that, you know, somebody says, oh, I don't like my 9-to-5 or I don't like my boss and therefore I'm an entrepreneur. And it's like, no, you're just lazy or you really just hate people telling you what to do. That doesn't necessarily make an entrepreneur. And so to me, one of the really the hardest lessons out there that if you're going to be an entrepreneur, you really do have to get your mindset right about what you're worth, about money. You know, and money's just this idea, it's this energy, it's this flow of things, and you've got to be able to charge what you're worth. Mm-hmm. Because Carol knows this because she's in the SEO industry as well, and so am I. There's always a race to the bottom. And if you want to race to the bottom, that's fine, but you're gonna end up with a lot of clients that are unhappy and don't value what you bring. Mm-hmm. So you gotta wrap your head and your mentality about what you are absolutely worth. Mm-hmm.
Yes, but a lot of people will say, how do I determine what, you know, the value is? And only a certain, you can set that. Because one of the things that people will say to me is, but Sharifa, I don't want it to be too expensive. And I'm like, okay, but expensive is relative. You know what I mean? There are millionaires and billionaires who would laugh at certain prices. There are certain people with lower incomes who would cry at certain prices. But my background is sales. And one of the first things that I was taught was the expression TAL, which means they all lie. And people will always tell you they have no money, but then they go buy the iPhone that was $15,000 for a phone. Like, what does it? I'm sorry, that's another tangent. But the point that I was making is that people have the money and it's up to you to determine what you want to offer your product or your service for. And then people who resonate with that will buy. That's
totally. And it's easy. You just have to do it. And you know, it's as you say, it's determining your worth. And obviously, if you're starting out in business, of course, you don't really know. You want to get you want to get testimonials, you want to get proof of concept, you want to get, you know, the stories going and stuff like that. But once you've been at it, and if you've been doing it well for a year or two, at that point, you need to know what you're worth and what you're giving, and then charge accordingly. Because nine times out of 10, people don't buy out of price. People buy for value.
Amen. Deanna?
I think part of that too, kind of to piggyback on what Carol said about women and imposter syndrome, is being like proud of your story and mm-hmm. telling your story and showing those successes to clients. So like maybe you are 10% more than the other one, but you've shown them what you can deliver. So that 10% isn't even a question at that point, because they're like, okay, well, for 10% more, I'm getting 50% more from an exposure and impact perspective, I can find that 10%. And nonprofits are that way too. Like, you know, even some of our accounts will start small on, and I'll be like, when is your next board meeting? And they'll be like, 3 months. And I'm like, all right, here's what I'm going to show you in 3 months. And almost every time our account builds, because it's like, okay, we have the money. We were just holding, you know, just holding back on it a little bit. But I think people have to be able to tell that story. And if you're an entrepreneur, you have to be able to tell why you're the best at what you do and why clients should work for you, because no one else is going to tell that story except for you.
Yes. I like what you said about the whole holding back thing. I think that was gold. And I like to find and point out gold. When I work with people in consulting on their business, I try to stay away from the specifics of their business or doing those aspects. I love to consult, but I tell people, think of me like your priest, right? Tell me the truth. You know, don't lie to me. Don't be, you know, have a $20,000 budget and be like, Sharifa, you know what? I'm going to give you $200 to see what you could do. I'm like, but this is not about me. This is about you. This is about your business. Put everything into your business so that it will be successful and it will grow. Because when you hold back, like Deanna said, you're not hurting me. You're not holding back on me. You're not allowing your business to grow the way it needs to grow. And that's what tends to happen. Customers, clients, they start at a certain price. And then after a while, they wind up somewhere else because they see the results of what happened. Creighton, I love your thoughts on that. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Carol.
We've got like here, we always say, don't we? It's like, you know, if you want to be a professional, use a professional.
Yes.
And a lot of people think like, you know, they start a business, they've been running their business. And because of the internet, because people can do it themselves, potentially, then they think, oh, I will do it myself. Right. But they don't understand the value that you know, using a proper business consultant, using a proper marketing company, you know, and building a professional website. That is an investment. It is not an expense. It is an investment in your business. You don't do that. You people who build business, they don't do marketing. They don't build websites. They don't do business consultancy. So why on earth would they think that they can do that on top of doing whatever it is they do in their business?
Yeah, and I'll piggyback on this and say, hey, look, if you're a buyer, you want somebody who's going to charge you what they're worth, and not run to the lowest price, because that person that Carol mentioned earlier who got their website built by the neighbor's cousin's, you know, first stepchild's, you know, college kid. Yeah. The problem with that is, my website doesn't work and he won't pick up the phone. Yeah, because you didn't pay him enough and he's out of business and he's off doing whatever he is, you know, whatever he's doing. And why should you be treated like a professional when you went and hired an amateur?
Yes.
It just doesn't work like that. But the thing that I think all of us fight is, for example, you know, Deanna and Carol is like, hey, have you ever posted on Facebook? Congratulations, you're a social media manager. You know, have you ever clicked on a website? Oh, cool, you're a website manager. And I mean, it's a lot more in depth than that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Deanna, you were going to say something?
Well, I was just going to add on to that is that, you know, everyone can do marketing. Don't we know that? Like anybody, like you can, that's just, anyone can do that. I mean, you know, and my favorite has been like, they'll tell me I have a marketing in person in-house and then like they have 25,000 jobs and marketing is the very last like thing. And they're like, but I've got you someone right out of college. They know how to do social media. I was like, have you looked at their social media posts before you tell me that like, Susan is now my social media person. Like we might should investigate what she's feel is appropriate to post before we like give her access, you know, to everything. So I think Instagram, social media makes it even harder or easier for people to be like, well, they look, she's got 5,000 followers. And I'm like, right. And she's got very inappropriate things posted to get 5,000 followers. Like, so I think social media made it easier for people to be like, well, anybody can do that. So as marketing professionals, I think it makes it even harder sometimes to make sure that, like, you know, I keep thinking back to Carol's about the plan. You know, so many websites never have a plan. You know, like there's a CEO who's like, I like this website of this competitor, make me this website. And I'm like, well, but that's your competitor's website. Like, you don't want to look like your competitor. You want to be better than your competitor. But without a plan, you're like, and I'm like, that's not a plan. They're like, I got a plan. I want to be just like this. And I'm like, that's not a plan.
No, I definitely agree. And I always talk about like my auto mechanic. He always tells me, he's like, Sharifa, he's so sexist, but he's like, for a woman, you take really good care of your car. And I always tell him, no, you take very good care of my car. You give me the little sticker that says, be back December 1st. December 1st, I'm back. Whatever you tell me I need to do, that's what I do. You're the professional. And I love to hire professionals in everything, even with food. My dad is always getting on my case because I have everything. I'm an Uber Eats, Postmates addict, I tell you. And he's like, stop doing it. I'm like, but why? Someone went to culinary school. That was their dream. I'm helping them fulfill their dream. This is their business. I'm supporting their business. Why can't that be okay? Why do I have to cook? I believe in hiring professionals. That's how you get professional results. That's how I get satisfied. Like Creighton was talking about, you can't go and what you're going to do, put the little kid that built your website on punishment. Like, what can you do? So you have to be able to go through a professional if you want professional results.
Nah, totally. I just wanted to say, look, see?
Oh, there we go.
You can see this look, and it's like that. There's a lot to planning a website. It's not a 5-minute job.
What else is in there? There's a lot. May we have another tip?
Can you have another tip about data? Okay, I got a big one. Images.
Okay.
Photographs on websites. Oh my God, it's the bane of my life. So everybody might, well, like they write a blog, they'll take a photograph with their camera and bang, onto the website, right? Number one, the picture's probably about 2 megabytes, which is a big file, yeah? It's not been named. It's come out of the camera saying DCMPQ2592, whatever. And it's just going to kill your website from an SEO point of view. And then if it kills it from an SEO point of view, it kills it also from a visitor's point of view. So the biggest tip that I would say is you have to do 3 things. You have to resize your images so that they fit in the placeholder they're going to fit in on the website. So, you know, you take it right down. If you optimize something for the screen, if you're going to print it for the wall of your house, then great. You can do that taking out the camera. But you need to lower the resolution. So image reduction. Rename that image. Give it your keywords. If your business, if you bake cakes in Atlanta, for example, you just name it, best homemade cakes for occasions in Atlanta. Yeah, that's what you call that image. And then you might say pink cake, so you know which one it is. And then the last one is when you upload it to your website, you must put in something called the alt tag, which is an alternative tag. And that is a tag which tells people who are visually impaired, who's visually not very good on the website, when they hover over an image, their settings, it will read it out to them. It'll read out the name of that image. So you need to put the name and what that image is about as an alt tag. And then you are complying with the worldwide consortium rules and regulations for disabilities on the web.
Carol, that's information. I'm telling you, if people missed it, you have to rewind, go back, listen again, because that was gold. Key information here today.
I've got a video on it on my website. I'm like banging. I go, you must do this. You've got to do that.
I'll just give you one tip on that. You know, let a professional like Carol or myself, you know, like this is part of the services that we provide, you know, just like, let us do it for you so that you don't mess it up, right? You
know? Yes.
You're not putting oil in your own car, Sharifa. What are you doing? You're going 3 months and letting them top you off and everything, because, hey, guess what? I can DIY it, but there are consequences. It's not
and
free.
Then it all crashes. We're building a website called it's Website Rescue.
I like that. Is it going to be like the same theory of Bar Rescue? I mean, online though, virtually. But that's my show. I love Bar Rescue. That's show.
What's that?
You've never seen Bar Rescue?
No.
I love it.
We got to see if she can find it on Netflix in UK or something like that.
Or YouTube or something. Yeah, but I don't know. I just like it. But it's this guy who has kind of a strong personality, but he goes into bars who are basically about to go out of business or losing money or have, you know, the government has come in from the health department, and they totally revamp it and remodel it. But they don't just do it from the structural business side, I mean, the foundation side, but even with the employees, like they whip the employees into shape. Like you're wasting too much liquor. You're pouring too much. This is the correct way you have to do it. So they revamp everything, and it's just amazing to watch. Yeah. So it's like a virtual, like you go through their website and rescue it.
We've got, there's a chef here called Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah.
And he does that. He does that for restaurants. It's called Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares or something.
Yes.
And he does that. That's very good. But yeah, so we're just sort of putting it together, and it's called websiterescue.uk because it's sort of, we're based in the UK. But it's not just us. We do design rescue, but also my tech team and the IT guys, they are they're part of it as well. So they can, like, we do all the hosting. We do like deep tech stuff. If something goes wrong, if anything blows up, you know, we can rescue that too. It's an important thing, and we've done so many website rescues that I thought, well, why don't we just like put it out there as a little business?
I like that. I love the fact that the domain was available, because that is a cool name. I always say I built my first website in 1994. My only regret, just about only regret in life in general, is that I didn't buy a whole bunch of one word domains. Like, I should have just bought 5,000 of them.
Definitely. Oh my God, definitely. It's crazy. But you can still find some good ones. You can kind of dig around, and there's still some good ones about.
Yes. I want to go back to what Creighton was saying about kind of the whole oil change idea. And part of the reason why, you know, I don't do the DIY, aside from the fact that I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing, I could probably watch on YouTube and figure it out. But is when I go, they analyze my entire car. They don't just change the oil. They say, Sharifa, you need this, you need that, do this, do that. Come back then. You need this in 6 months. You need this in a year. And so they do everything and not just one piece. And so I can make a change by, you know, Googling it or looking on YouTube, and I may ruin my entire car. So that's kind of what you were saying, Creighton, about making changes without even understanding the whole picture.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, what we found with our clients is that they actually love having a monthly maintenance plan, because now all of a sudden they just say, here's the latest blog. And then their responsibility literally ends right there, and our responsibility takes over. And it's like, we're going to get it up for you. We're going to optimize everything. We're going to make sure that it is, you know, SEO optimized, that it's visually designed optimized, that it doesn't interfere with anything else. If something's a little bit wonky for whatever reason, we're going to bring it back into focus. And, you know, to be able to have that peace of mind. And it's just like, we're all busy. You know, that's why we've got less than 3 seconds to grab somebody's attention, because we're all busy and we've got the attention of gnats these days. Why do you want to put one more thing on your plate that you're not good at?
Yes, yes. I know I'm guilty, guilty as charged, because my attention is all over the place, which means, again, let me go over to Deanna. I'm like switching and moving. But I want to go back to what you were saying about Instagram. I definitely see a lot of accounts that are inappropriate per se. But what I see more of are appropriate accounts, but have absolutely no value to their business. Like, I'll look at their social media and it's rainbows and unicorns. And I'm like, but how is that going to get you sales? How is that going to get you clients? So they don't know how to deliver the message that, you know, or do you see that as well, Deanna?
And I think there's also a quantity versus quality. Like, well, if yes. I just keep putting all this stuff out, like I'll just keep putting more and more and more and more. And I'm like, no, please stop with the more and more. Like, people are not excited to see, you know, that, or like to the whole like squirrel conversation. Like some Instagram accounts I look at and I'm like, okay, wait, yesterday you had this one, and then today you've got this one. And then tomorrow you like, and it looks like five different accounts versus like a consistent, you know, a consistent account. And I also think back to the conversation about like, you know, you still need a website, even if you're driving your business on Instagram. Like you can't, I mean, you know, people are doing it, but I still am in the same camp that like, you need a website to go back to that. Like we, you know, that is still a lot of people are going to go to the website. And I also think that, you know, especially from a generational perspective, if you don't have a website, you're likely to lose customers because they're not going to trust you just off of an Instagram. I can tell right. you that my mother would not, well, she's not on Instagram, but if she was, she would be like, oh, okay, I like that. I'm going to go to their website. Like she in no way would buy anything off of Instagram. And so you've still got a generation that, you know, we just got them comfortable going to a website to buy something, you know, like,
right.
I feel like it gives that credibility to people who aren't as like social media, you know, savvy. And then I also think to Carol's point, your Instagram has to have a plan too. You know, like yes. you can't just, you know, hey, I want to post about this and tomorrow I want to post about that. I mean, I even have a calendar for moms making it together and it's not even a business. Like it's just this, you know, it's a little community right now, but like I have a plan because I don't want the moms to be like, I mean, what is she doing? Like, did she have too much coffee this morning? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can't, it needs a plan the same way everything else does. And I think right. social media sometimes gets to be like, well, I don't need a plan. I'm just gonna wing it. You know, like whatever I feel like posting today, I'm gonna post.
Right. And how does that help your business? How does that help you get clients? What is the brand and the message that you want to develop? So you have to have something to say. But for me, I'm adamant, like for the roundtable talk show, when the guests complete the form, you have to have a website. I have to have something to review. I have to be able to say that you are legitimate. You know, if Deanna came on the show and she told everybody that she was the Queen of England and I had no way to research her and, you know, I can't just allow people to, you know, so you have to have something that gives you credibility. A social media account is free. You can create any free email address associated to any free social media account. And that doesn't prove anything. So if you're in business and if you want to ever go out and get any type of business loan, if you want to have any type of business funding, anything like that, people want to be able to take you serious. And if you're not serious about your business, no one else will take your business serious. That's one of the talks and speeches I even talk about is the answering the question, are you operating a business or are you operating a hustle? Now, there's no judgment in either one. I'm not judging you. If you decide that this is a side hustle, this is, you know, not something you want to do, but businesses operate in a certain way. That's what
to piggyback on Deanna, I mean, it's taking a look at your whole entirety and your whole picture. I mean, and a lot of times what we do with all the social media and the SEO and the Facebook, the Instagram, the Twitter, the YouTube, what we're doing is we're creating an ecosystem, or what I like to call our own like little Marvel universe, right? And at the center of that universe is usually the website, because you push people back into the website, and then your website, right? We've got Carol's 3 seconds to let them know they're in the right place and to give them a call to action so that they start buying or consuming your product or your service. And so it's taking that whole bigger picture into account, number one. And then number two, also thinking about, okay, if somebody's going to interact with me over here, where do I want to take them so that maybe they'll eventually buy over there. And that's what we call the customer value journey, or some people call it sales funnels. There's a couple different names for it, but it's the concept's all the same. It's like, I want to engage, but if I'm doing my job right, if I've got the strategy behind all of this that I'm doing, I'm going to move them slowly along, build my relationship with them, build the know, like, and trust factors. And then, like you said, make it easy for them to buy on the website and don't bury the lead somewhere where they can't find it.
Absolutely. But it also reminds me of something that Carol was, when she was talking earlier, is people, professionals, understand how to utilize a website. So when we had this vision of Carol telling us, correct your images, make sure you do it the right way, we're hearing her, we're learning, but guess what? Maybe we still need more information. That's why Carol said, if you go to my website and you watch this video, there's the information. So just with that small 30-second statement, she just drove traffic and visitors to her website. She also didn't have to utilize any more of her time to keep giving the same information. She has a video that people can watch to learn how to do it correctly. So I think that's the beauty of having a website, being able to send people to specific areas that you want them to focus on and not have to repeat yourself a million times.
Oh, totally. If you do it properly, I'm lazy.
Me too.
I'm lazy. That's why I love the internet, because the reason I got involved in technology in 1986 was because it made my life easier. Yes. I was like, oh my God, you know, I can just enter this. My boss was at the time when we were selling all the properties in Spain, where I was working in the international property industry in 1986. And it was like, he kept saying to us, well, who bought the properties from there, and how many price at this exhibition? And we'd go to these files and have to pull up all these files and pull out all the bits of paper. And eventually I went to him and I went, Richard, can we put all this on one of those computer things? Because then when we say who bought this, then we could press a button and we could get it. And I wouldn't take me half an hour. And without knowing it, he said that was a very good idea. He said, please go and do it. So before I knew it, I didn't code it, but I mapped it out. And we built a CRM system for all the clients who were buying properties left, right and center, because it was very busy in the mid-80s buying property in Spain. And we were able to just put it all together, put it on the, and that was because I was lazy. I didn't want to sit there going through files all the time. And so I was hooked. So then even now it's like, what can I do? What can I do to make my life easier? If somebody recommends an app or something, I'll download it. And if it hasn't hooked me in 10 minutes, it's deleted.
I am the same way.
Entrepreneurs are hardworking and lazy at the same time.
And what we do is, what I find is, we spend a lot of time trying to figure out how not to do that ever again. Like we have to automate it and then it's done.
Oh, that's my hot automation. Automation is awesome.
Yes.
I've got my spiel on my website too. And it's just like, I don't want to explain this thing over and over again. Here's the video. Here's my one shot. Yeah. Go watch it. You'll learn everything you need to know, in my mind, you know?
Yeah.
There's a great book that I've got on my usability. It's like a little Bible, and it's about usability of a website. And it's a book this guy wrote, and it's called Don't Make Me Think.
Have
you heard of that, Crichton?
Great.
No, no. I mean, on a website or even in real life. If somebody wrote
a book, it's all about website usability. It's fantastic. And it's my Bible. And it's called Don't Make Me Think. Because when we go to a website, we don't want to have to think. We just want to get to where we want to go.
Yes. The question, Creighton, was, have you heard of the book?
No. I want to read it. But it is my life philosophy too, though, because it's like, if you make me work for it, I'm only going to work so hard for it. And then it's like, you don't get my business.
Yeah.
You got to make it, like I said earlier, you got to make it easy for me to spend money with you.
Yeah. But Sharifa, but I will say, and I know Creighton will, and also I'm sure Deanna understands as well, that most of the time, the easier it is to use a website, the more hard work has gone on in the background, and the more planning, and the more, and the better somebody looks out there, the more hard work has gone into everything that they've done.
And that's why Steve Jobs said, design isn't what it looks like. Design is how it works.
Yes.
It's got to work the way it's intended. It's got to work by UX, UI, that's user experience and user interface standards, so that it is easy for the user. You got to assume that the user is there for the very first time and doesn't have to think.
Yes. Deanna, you were going to say something?
I was going to say, I think back to like the generational thing, and I think about that a lot because my parents are in their 70s, and then I have a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old. And when you think about ease of use, it needs to be easy enough for my mother to operate it. It also needs to be easy enough that my children who use Google as a verb also are like, that's what you, well, that you actually get to what they want when they Google you. So it's like you've got both generations are looking at ease of use from a different perspective. One is truly like, you know, which button do I press sometimes with my mom? And then, you know, my 10-year-old who was like, I Googled this and this website is not the one that I asked for. And God forbid you order something that didn't come off of Amazon and delivered Prime. And she's like, it's been a week. Nothing. Some things do. But I think that, you know, that ease of use, when you're talking about multi-generations using it, they're looking for it for different reasons. And, you know, even kids younger than my kids don't remember anything without Siri and Alexa, you know, like, I mean, now they don't even have to like look at the phone. They can just be like, Alexa, order this, or, you know, so I think that ease of use becomes even more important as technology continues to be so ingrained in our, you know, in all generations.
Excellent point.
A confused mind never buys. So don't make me think, because the more you make me think, the more confusion, and I'm not going to buy.
Yes, excellent point. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Creighton.
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for having me. And Deanna and Carol, it was wonderful to share this platform with you guys and all your thoughtful insights. My name is Creighton Wong. I am with Exponential Clients. And, you know, our job is real simple. Like, we do more research than anybody else out there to find out where the best opportunities lie for you. If that happens to be Facebook paid advertising, if that happens to be search engine optimization, if that happens to be you need a new website, like we've talked about a lot today, then so be it. But it all comes down to, you know, starting with a deep dive into who you are as a person, what your business is all about, and where we can find the right clientele, the right customers to connect with you. And all you got to do is just go to exponentialclients.com. That's where I'm at.
We'll go check you out. Thank you, Creighton. Thank you for being here. Carol, what do you have for us?
Yeah, I think it's been amazing. I think it really has brought home, and I hope it's brought home to the audience, that, you know, it is really important, especially in this day and age of really, really hard and fast competitors and competition. You know, they're all out there. And if you want to be serious about your business and you want to be a professional, then we also, as we said, to use a professional. I'm passionate about websites on my LinkedIn profile. That's what it says. It says Carol Verity Mann, passionate about websites. I have been passionate about websites for many, many years. Part of that involves the SEO. And I just love my client. I say to you, if you don't love your website, you're not going to tell anybody about it. You just aren't. If you don't love your website, you're not going to go to Deanna and then get, you know, all the lovely marketing that she can do. And you're not going to want to expose yourself. You're going to want to hide in the corner. So I want to hear from all those people who don't love their websites, really hate their websites, and want a lovely, shiny, bright new one so they can go and drop their stuff at the party. And thank you. It's been lovely to meet Deanna and Creighton. I think, you know, it'd be great to connect, you know, outside the show. And thank you so much, Sharifa, for having me on. And it's great that we've got America. We've got, what do we got in the morning? We've got the Arbor tea time, and we've got nighttime going on here. And it's really apparent how, despite those massive sort of differences and distances, that we're all on the same page.
Amen. I love it. Wonderful words. Thank you, Carol. Deanna.
Deanna Anderson, and if you are a nonprofit or high tech looking for content marketing, 705 Marketing is there to help you create that story and really get that out there. And our website is 705marketing.com. And if you are a mom who is still trying to figure all this out hour by hour, minute by minute, sometimes as we go through COVID, the Moms Making It Together community is at momsmakingittogether.com. We're on Instagram at the same, and it is a private Facebook group. So ask to join, and we would love to have you as part of our community. And then just final to echo everything everyone said, it's been such a great way to come back after a long weekend and talk with you guys. And the hour went by like so fast, which are one of my favorite like types of conversations with people that you've never met before this morning, when the conversation goes so quickly. And I've taken some tips that I'm going to take back and use with some of my clients to point them in the right direction. So thank you guys.
Wonderful. That is exactly why we do this, why we get up early in the morning here in Southern California, so that you can take the information, our viewers can take the information, and we can all learn together. Because change starts with a conversation. So I want to thank you all for being here. I also want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you're watching it in the archives doesn't mean you're any less important. You are so important, and we would still appreciate you sharing the show. But don't just watch the show. Don't just share the show. Please support our guests. Visit their websites. Follow them on social media. Interact. Engage. And when you send them that message, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. And if you're looking for more ways on how I can help your business, or to get your tickets for our two-day teleconference, which is the Powered by Purpose Empowerment Experience, visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until next time, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.